Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain of the Republics of the United States of America. You know, every day we have challenges. One of the challenges for us today is that pre-conferencing changed our number and our codes without notifying us, and we try to come on and we're shifted, and the old number is not giving the proper intel. So we've got somebody volunteer John Underwood to keep checking on that. So we apologize. They've added some things which are not particularly to our favor, and one of those is the when you mute somebody, it's going to give a bong and it, you know, ding, and it doesn't usually do that. Plus, a couple of anytime somebody comes in or off, it's going to do that. So just bear with us tonight. We'll have it worked out. Unfortunately, we didn't know about it until we literally got on the line. The order is going to be changed a little bit tonight. I am going to call on a couple of people before things gear up really heavy, because we're going to have to do our teaching up front because Fred Mosley has other things he has to get to tonight also. So I'm just going to go to the Lord. We're going to lift up all this craziness before him, and I'm going to tell you what's going on. Father, we come to you in the name of Yeshua. And we come to you as Yahweh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we want to thank you. What a glorious week it's been in you. Incredible word, opportunities, prophetic voices, teachings are just flowing all over the place. And we just bless you. We glorify you. We thank you for what you're doing and how you're doing it, knowing that we have no concept of how things are going to happen tonight. But we just know that you're in charge. And since you're in charge, it's going to be glorious. So we bind the problems in the airways, we cancel the assignment of the enemy, and we dedicate this time unto you. And we call upon you for who you are, King of kings and Lord of lords, and we bless your holy name. Now, as we go forward, we just want to encourage everybody. And thank you for bearing with us and understanding the challenges that we're having tonight. But I've got to go into where we are, and this new calendar week starts in the middle of the week. And it's Chesvan. And it's interesting because Chesvan really, or Van, depends on how you pronounce it, is a month where the Hebrews said there's no significant feast. They probably should have started some. I think I'd have thrown some feast in with what goes on during this month. It's a time of judgment. It's a season of judgment. It's a season of revelation and new beginnings. It's the month of new beginnings. So it's a time of excitement. It's a time of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and power. And it's the time when the great flood. It was the time when the flood began, and 1 year later, it's the time when the flood ended. But I want to talk to you about something that's very important. We've been dealing with, on both Canadian call and this call, powers, principalities, rulers of wickedness, demonic forces, and it circles back into the Nephilim, and who were they, and what were they, and I'm going to give you a couple, little bit of teaching on that so you can understand why things are as crazy as they are this month. You know, who were the Nephilim? They were the sons and daughters of the Watcher Angels that were originally assigned to the earth to train the human race on the things of heaven. They had physical form and ranged from 9 feet to 50 feet tall. They had bodies. They ate. They knew the secrets of heaven, and they were both male and female. They saw the daughters of men as attractive and desired them. Mythology was based on truth. The Greek demigods, Hercules, all the different demigods that you've seen in the movies and heard about, they actually were real in the fact that they were from the fallen, because these ended up being called the fallen. Because of their sin, God judged them, and they became demons. Now from Satan's kingdom of darkness. But they were originally sent here by God. The Nephilim are fallen ones, and they were here before the flood and after the flood. Genesis 6:4 talks about it. You may ask, how could this be? It's because Father did not shut the doors between the second heaven and the earth until the resurrection. But he did have watchers. And those watchers, believe it or not, kind of look like the Bigfoot that we hear so much about these days. In Matthew 24:37, the flood wiped out most of the Nephilim and their offspring, yet the flood and the fallen returned to do it again when Israel was conquering the Promised Land. Father told him to wipe out entire races of mankind due to their interaction with the enemy and stop the seed from passing forth. A lot of people read that whole book and say, why did he kill men, women, and children, and even the animals? It's because he didn't want the seed passed on anywhere. The demonic forces out there are real. They can attack mankind. All you get is look at Luke 13. They infest mankind. They burrow into personalities in the spirit realm. They invade mankind through being involved in witchcraft, Satan worship, music. So I just want you to be aware of what's going on this month, being the month of October, ending up, and so many people still celebrate, many Christians still celebrate Halloween. Be aware, it is one of the entry doors for the enemy to infest mankind. It's the month of Manasseh coming up, and it's the most blessed tribe of Israel, yet at the same time they rebelled against God and worshiped the golden calf. When they strayed, they built one after they had the land. They had the choicest land of all of Israel, and they still turned away and became part of the northern tribes, and it's a shame. They become part of the lost tribe. It was Joseph's firstborn son, Manasseh, adopted by Jacob, and he experienced a 27-century exile until 2017 when the lost tribe returned once again to become a tribe of Israel. Therefore, it's the time and season of new beginnings, and it's the time and season when God is moving mightily upon the land. So as we go forward, call out to the Lord, you know, seek his heart and what he's doing, and make prayer declarations for the kingdom. Now, we have a new calendar coming out in 3 days, and that calendar is going to be power-packed. We have 3 new authors coming in from our midst. April's one of them, and Nadia is another one, and we're going to have an entire group of men and women that are going to be a blessing to you. So buckle up. It's going to be an interesting night. We're going to start out with Fred Mosley, but I got a call on a couple of people that will leave the call very rapidly to see if they have something that the Lord's told them they need to share today. So bear with us. And Howard, is there something you need to share that the Lord's put on your heart or something you want to talk about?
No, I don't have anything that's burning inside of me that needs to be shared. I mean, for me, it's the same themes over and over and over again about rising up, taking that authority. And I think, you know, in terms of what happened this weekend, I'm just going to leave that to you and Greg to decide whether you want to reveal that or not. I'll just say it like this, that I am more excited than I've ever been before. I mean, we see this darkness around us, but the Lord has promised that he's going to shake everything that can be shaken. So the only thing that remains is the only thing that can remain. And I just see this all playing out. He's doing it for us, not against us. And I am just absolutely excited about what's taking place in the spirit realm, what's happening here in the physical realm. But I don't have any kind of a burning message that I feel that I need to bring forward tonight. But I've never been more hopeful than ever before, in spite of what we see playing out around us, because I know his hand is in it.
All right. Praise God. Boy, it has jumbled my entire board, John. I don't know about yours. Greg, are you still on?
Go up to the duration tab and click on it. It should come back the way you want it.
Okay.
The arrow on the right-hand side of it.
Okay, I think we lost Gary.
Yeah,
it does look like we've lost him. All right, this Fred, the word that's come out today that Fred is going to talk about, more of the laws, they're very important. And this next calendar, I actually have two words that are going to be brought up, and about the times and season that we're in. And in this, Fred Mosley talks about the law of seasons and the law of seasons, how important it is and where we are. And one of the big laws that we have to deal with right now happens to be the law of the season that we're in. And we're in a time when, as I said, the enemy is attacking. He's out there. He's trying to invade. He's trying to divert man from what God wants to do. He's trying to tear down and destroy. So Fred's going to talk about the law of the seasons and where we are today, basically, and tying into that. Fred Mosley.
Thank you, Chaplain Wade. As most of you are aware, I teach a series that I refer to as the laws of life. And we define the law of life as being an absolute divine rule that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. In order for us to refer to a law of life as being such, we have to begin in Genesis, tracing that law of life throughout the Old Testament into and throughout the New Testament before we can refer to it as a law of life. Oftentimes, several hundred scriptures will come together to establish each of these laws of life. We show how these laws of life operate independently and interdependently one to another. So tonight, very briefly, as Chaplain Wade has mentioned, I'm going to endeavor to share with you from the law. Not the concept, not the precept, not the principle, but the law of seasons. And I'm sure most on the call are familiar with the foundational scripture for this law, which is found in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything, there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. To everything, there is a season. Some are of the opinion that seasons only apply to the natural. But as we just read the Word of God, to everything there is a season. God uses those things that we can see to help us to better understand the things we cannot see. Seasons not only apply to the natural, but seasons apply to individuals. It applies to groups. It applies to nations. It applies to every aspect of life. It is an absolute, because to everything, there is a season. Again, we relate to seasons in the natural. Not only do we relate to natural seasons, but we respect natural seasons. There are things that we do in certain seasons that we do not do in other seasons. We plant gardens most times in the spring of the year. We wear clothing that are conducive to winter and conducive to summer. We use air conditioners in certain climatic conditions that we would not use in other climates. To everything, there is a season. We can make contact with the effects of seasons in the natural, but I submit to you that spiritual seasons are just as real as the natural seasons that we are familiar. Unfortunately, many believers are operating out of season. We're operating based upon a hunch, based upon a fleeting thought, based upon a whim with no spiritual confirmation. Believers change jobs, go into business because other people are going to business at that particular time. Believers move to another area of the country just because they are tired of where they are presently living and have not received a release from the Spirit of God to move on someplace else. I remember when it was impressed upon me by the Spirit to move from Northeast Ohio to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. God gave me a confirmation. Not only did he give me a confirmation, but before the confirmation, he gave me a notice. And we talked about the law of notice and warning. He gave me a notice in a dream that the foundation for the ministry that he was calling me to, Justice Ministries International, would receive the best reception in the state of Texas, and in particular the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And there was a season that I needed to make that move. And fortunately, I did. It's been a challenge, but nevertheless, I have no doubt in my mind that God had given me through and by and through revelation where I was to go, when I was to go, and why I was to go there. We must recognize and accept the season that we are in. Many have made changes because of the pandemic. Many have made moves because of the pandemic, and they were flesh moves. They were not necessarily moves of the Spirit. I've had almost 80 years to look back and recognize the various seasons in my life and the patterns that are embedded in those seasons. I challenge each of you on this call, especially those of you who are maybe older, more than 50 years of age. When you look back over your life, you now can see in hindsight the seasons of challenge, the seasons of blessings that you went through during that time period. I can relate to, as I look back over those years, the patterns, the activities that brought about a positive season in my life. And likewise, I can bring to my recollection the activities that brought away a negative season in my life. And I'm certain that many of you can do likewise. But I want to zero in on two particular seasons of life that most believers have gone through or are going through. The first one, and Chaplain Wade has already made reference to that one, a season of attack. Many of us have gone through seasons of attack. First of all, we have to recognize that we are going through. I'm not speaking in terms of those who are on this call tonight, but in general, we must recognize the fact that we will, as believers, go through seasons of attack. So then what must we do? We must first recognize that we're in a season of attack. How do we recognize it? It's by and through another law of life, that law of life we referenced here earlier, the law of notice and warning. Notice and warning, and in particular, warning will give you advance notice or warning when you're going through a demonic attack. Also, the law of foreseeability, which I don't think we've gotten to with this group, will also make us aware of a demonic attack that we're going through. Discernment. Who are going through a demonic attack. During a season of demonic attack, we must put on the whole armor of God, utilize all of our spiritual warfare weapons during a season of attack. We receive warnings during that season or during a season of attack. First of all, as we know, buying through the Word of God. Nextly, we receive warnings concerning a demonic season, a season of demonic attack by prophetic word, by word of wisdom, by word of knowledge, by dreams and visions. Sometimes God will also send us an angel to give us warnings of a season of attack. Also, we can receive warnings as it relates to a season of attack just by way of circumstances. Circumstances in and of and by themselves oftentimes will give us a warning that we're in a season of attack together with instructions how to overcome and to prevail during a season of attack. But there's another season that we want to touch upon. And that is a season that most of us on the call are looking forward to, if it has not already come. And I submit that many of us are moving into this season right now. Many of us on the call, we're moving to a season of breakthrough. And that comes by way of a notice, under the law of notice and warning. A few months ago, I was walking along, and I felt something in the spirit realm lift something off of me. And the Spirit of God impressed upon me that the curse that for some reason that I was had been under, not just for a short period of time, not just for weeks, months, not just for years, but for a long period of time, that curse had been removed. I felt a lift. And when we are operating in a spirit, in a season, a breakthrough, we're under an open heaven. We can call things that be not as though they were. We can decree a thing, and it will be established. We can think on a thing, and just by way of our thoughts and thinking on a certain thing we want to come to pass, God brings it. When we're under a season of breakthrough. And I declare and decree that many on this call tonight, that either you're entering that season of breakthrough or you're already in that season and you're going to press forward on many promises that have been made to you over the years that have been stalled, that those promises are being fulfilled right now. But lastly, we need a discernment as to the season that this country is in. Whether or not we're in a season of blessings or we're in a season of curses, and how we are to approach, how we are to pray for these United States of America in the season that this country is in. And Father, we ask, in the name of Yeshua, that you will give us the revelation that we need in order to press in and press forth, not only for our specific and individual seasons, but for the season of this country that we love dearly. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Glory, glory, glory to God. Thank you, Fred.
Powerful. Thank you, Brother Way. Appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity.
Next month, it's going to be a 1-2 punch. Right behind your word is Lance Wallnow. And it's going to tie in perfectly with what you had to say, and you and I are going to do that together.
Good.
Just want you to be aware up front about it.
I look forward to it.
I'm going to continue from where Fred is, and that is the season where we are right now. And that's the season that we're going to have to take a stand. I talk to a lot of prophetic people, and there are many prophetic people on this call right now, okay? And that being a good portion of us, actually. There are some that actually walk in the office of prophetic voice on this call. I don't claim to be a prophet. I'm more along the lines of an administrative pastor and I hate to say prophet. I don't like saying it, but nonprofit, I don't mean that. Apostle. And that I start works. And I've started a few along the way. But I don't even claim that. I claim walking in the gifts more than office. But I want to bring this up to you. We're in a season that we're going to have to take a stand. I was praying with some of the prophets over the last couple of days, and it came to our attention of the warfare that they were in. And that warfare, the oppression was because of the word they were about to bring. Now, most of us know that the Facebook's account closed a good portion of the day. Some say that's the beginning of the 10 days of darkness. No, I don't think, but we're awfully close. Others have said it's because Robin Bullock and what was the other prophet, Francis? Timothy Dixon. We're in D.C. Talking about what is happening, and they were blanked out. They were totally shut down. This time and season, and Joel and Stevens had a word today, and it was, we're in the season of Samson's. And you go, how in the world can I be in a season of Samson? How can I stand up? Now, Francis and I had a funny yesterday. We were with our daughter and two grandsons, and they were playing on the monkey bars. And I told Francis that there's a challenge out there, and people sit up in the park and they take $5 from anybody that wants to get in, and if they can hang for 1 minute, 1 minute, 60 seconds, then they can get $100. Well, it takes a fairly young people to do that, and Francis said, oh, I can do that. At 3 seconds, she let go, and I think at 5 seconds, I did. Every bone in my body popped, my shoulders, and we were just laughing, cutting up, and having a good time. You know, we knew that there was things we couldn't do, and how are you going to have the strength of Samson, Lord? Well, actually, what they're saying is this. It's a season where my people will understand that in their weakness, okay, he makes them strong because he is strong. This is a season where like Samson, he's showing us our weaknesses, but his great grace is going to be sufficient. And when we're going to have to stand, and when we're going to have to pray, and we're going to have to get on our knees and face, they'll understand that the only way they accomplish great feats is if they go to prayer, is if they go to worship, and if they go to seeking the Lord with a whole heart. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Well, we'd like to think that we can do that, and we can, but you got to learn to press into the Lord. All the trials that we've been through over the last year and a half, COVID, all the shutdowns, the lockdowns, in Canada, it's gotten plain stupid. I mean, they're threatening to go into the homes and take your children away from you. They're shutting down businesses. They're putting demands on people that are totally unrealistic and unfair. In the United States, we're having that in certain states. One of these senators in Pennsylvania today introduced a bill. It's called a sterilization bill. And if you have had three children, they sterilize you and can have no more children. All the laws that made the United States great, the Constitution, everything we stand on, they're trying to become totally communistic and have absolute rule and able to arrest us if we have a fourth child, if you've not gotten your vaccination. Another news broadcast came out where on a flight to Philadelphia from Dallas, the man got on. He was putting his in business class. He had a face mask on, and as he was putting his briefcase above his seat in the overhead bin, the mask slipped down. It was just so his nose was showing. He sat down, put some things underneath, and got straightened up. Then he put the mask on. Well, the person next to him, a woman, we'll call her a Karen, and hope there's no Karens on the phone. Reported him to the stewardess and that she was highly offended and greatly afraid. The stewardess talked to the captain. The captain said to call the police, and the police at the airport came in, escorted him off the plane, said that he's under potential threat of arrest and a $1,000 fine and be banned from the airline. He says, what in the world for? He says, putting people at risk. He says, what are you talking about? You didn't have your mask on. He said, I always had my mask on. When I was putting my briefcase above the, my seat, I bumped it and it dropped down below my nose. As soon as I sat down, I adjusted it. Well, they didn't accept that. They kicked him off the plane. Well, here's the, this man was flying business class. This is expensive seat, folks. This is somebody that travels all the time with that airline. Our strengths are going to have to come out ahead. We're going to have to literally press through into the Lord, because I'll be honest with you, I used to have a pretty strong temper. Now, I wasn't a violent man, but I never ran from anything. I wasn't particularly afraid of anything, and I could blow up. And I had to learn to control that. When I gave my heart to the Lord, He took that away from me. And He says, I want you to be a warrior for me. Well, I said, oh, man, I can do this. I like to fight. I can, you know, I can do this. And then He told me, on your knees. I said, what? And He says, that's where you fight in my kingdom, on your knees and on your face. I went, boy, that's a hard word, Lord. I don't understand it. And then He gave me Zechariah 4:6. And He answered and said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not going to be by might or by power, but it's going to be my spirit. And that's the time and season we're come into. We're going to have the Spirit of God literally leading us and praying that the next generation behind us, who are going to make a difference for us when we're in old folks' homes and our children and grandchildren, that they will be led by the Spirit of God. We're going to have a revelation of God and who He is, and we're going to have to show that revelation to people, and we're going to have strength to do it. We're in the season of absolute change. Robert Eiler talked this weekend, and John's going to talk a little bit about it in a few moments. And one of the things that he said, and I don't know if it was him or Chuck when I was writing the notes, and he says, we've turned a page, folks. We're in a new era. We're in a new season. And what we do today cannot be based on what we did before on that previous page, because it won't work. Everything is changing around us. Now, the Lord is imparting power and anointing upon people. He literally told me to do something, and I prayed the light of God's glory to fall on some people this weekend, and it literally was tangible. And He says, it's time where you're going to have to go by the new playbook. You're going to have to look at what things are going on now, and you're going to have to pay attention, because you're in a season you haven't walked in. And He says, you're not going to be able to survive this new season unless you are prepared by surrendering to my spirit. The church has been left void. Most of us know it. There's we've been hurt by churches. We've been hurt by pastors. I've hurt people. I've repented for a lot of things in my life. And, you know, we're going to have to surrender as we've never surrendered before, that we can turn the page where God is. Acts 2:16 talks and says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. My sons, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So we're going to start seeing prophets rise up. We're going to see prophetic people. We have three new people to us. It's not that they've not been prophetic. It's just they're new to us. And they're coming to us, and they literally come wounded in many areas. But God is raising them up to be able to minister to our lives, because He's had them back and He's prepared them for what they've suffered. So we're literally going to be in a time and season where God's going to bring them out of prisons. He's going to bring them off the streets. It could be your brother, your sister that has suffered horrific abuse. It could have been they were stuck on, they were addicted to drugs and prostitution, male and female, just to survive because they were attacked by the enemy, and the enemy came in and took possession of their flesh, and God is freeing up people. So it's time to shout. It's time to pray. It's time to worship like you've never before. Sharon has been over and over saying for 2 weeks, it's time to worship. It's time to worship. It's time to praise. It's time to give thanks. And it's going to set the captives free. In Isaiah 49:25, he says, "But this saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. And I will contend with him and contend with thee, and I will save my children." We had a circumstance this weekend in prayer where we literally were seeing in the kingdom, and there was an open vision, and God showed us something. And he said, "I'm going to save my children after this. After this time of great upheaval, I'm going to pour my spirit back upon my children, the spirit of innocence. And I'm going to change their hearts back to my heart." And I'll be honest with you, I did not want to leave that time of prayer. We are in the end of a circle. We're in the end of one season, the beginning of another. We've talked about it for months now. We're entering into a new season, a new era. And God is saying, you won't be able to accomplish what you accomplished last season if that's all you carry into the new. You're going to have to seek after him. You're going to have to press in. Tonight, we experienced something that we were not prepared for. We go into our dial-in number, and it's been changed by free conferencing. They switched us over from freeconferencing.com to freeconferencinghighdefinition.com, assigned new numbers to us, new codes, and wiped out our past history, all of our phone numbers, any recognition to anybody, and didn't notify us that we could get this out in time for this call. So we were hustling. The entire pre-call was trying to get numbers to you all. So we recognize we can't even look at what we did on these calls anymore. We've got to press on. We've got to go to that new place. We've got to go to the new anointing, a new understanding that God is pouring out. And there's going to be new glory. There's going to be new promises. There's going to be a new light. There's going to be a new freshness like never before. It'll be nothing short of miraculous. There's going to be a manifestation of God literally invading our life if we'll surrender to it. And there'll be no natural explanation of what he's doing because he's fulfilling promises that he made 10, 20, 30 years ago in our lives that we thought they would never come to pass. And guess what? They're happening now. The supernatural realm is being manifest and open to anybody. He's saying, come up here. Come up here. Come up here. He wasn't saying just that we got to come up higher in the spirit. He was saying, literally, come up here into heaven. You know, people are having physical, spiritual, out-of-body manifestations of the Spirit of God moving upon them and him showing them things. So we are going to be overwhelmed in such a way by the outpouring of his spirit and power that it'll outweigh anything from the past, all the pains, all the sufferings. All of a sudden, we're going to see family members come in that you figured that person could never get saved, or a friend, or somebody you know. And the power of his spirit, the power of his might is going to break forth. And there's going to be new hope. There's going to be new joy. And it's going to be happening now. Many people, myself and many people, had to experience incredible difficulties to get to this point, not knowing what the manifestation of his promises was going to bring, but hearing the promises nonetheless, the prophetic word. Many of you on this call have prophesied over me. And now we're starting to see these signs, wonders, and miracles take place. I'll give you one last little story. True story. I'm involved with a group that works out of India. Now, I haven't done a ton with this group. I pray for them, and every once in a while I'll contribute in. And the head evangelist died of COVID in spring. His mother died. He died. family members died, and it's in India, and they can get drugs really inexpensive, but, you know, you don't make much money there. But during his career and lifetime, he hosted events with over 3 million people during his time. 1 million plus salvations, 58 raised from the dead, healings beyond anything imaginable, and those that have been trained by him have taken it forward, and to this morning we got this post. Today in Sarama, this was 2 days ago, located in South India, Holy Spirit moved upon 60 people. 25 had miraculous interventions with God and received Christ as their Savior. Now, these are Hindus and Muslims. Doesn't come easy for them. A boy was brought up, and what kicked it off, because he called upon those that were sick to bring forth their loved ones. A young boy about the age of 12 comes up with his mother, and cancer was totally destroying the inside of his mouth and throat, and they did not expect him to live much longer. He couldn't hardly eat or stand to drink anything because of the pain. The mother heard about this healing by God. Well, even though she did not know Jesus, she brought her son. She's Muslim. And she brought him in to be prayed for. Pastor Mashiach prayed for him in the name of Yeshua, and healing took place on the spot. He turned around and started shouting because he couldn't hardly talk because of the pain, and all the cancer had left his mouth and throat. When he went to the doctor the next day, he had an appointment, went to the doctor the next day because they were getting ready to tell, the doctor was going to tell his mother that there was no hope. He was completely healed. He came back, that was Saturday night, he came back the following weekend, or I beg your pardon, he went in on Monday. He came back yesterday for the next tent revival to give confirmation, and everybody in the tent was saved. Now, it's not only happening in India and all around the world. It's getting ready to happen here. Signs, wonders, and miracles are going to take place. You can't pay attention to the last season. You're going to have to pay attention to this season and what God's doing now. You're going to have to listen like never before. You're going to have to anticipate like never before. And you're going to have to surrender like never before. So this is the time. This is the season. And tomorrow is a special day. And I'm going to close with this. It is the 29th of Tishri. On the 29th of Tishri, Christ was born. He wasn't born December 25th, folks. Most of you all know that. He was born at this season. It was the beginning in that year of Tabernacles. It has been designated as September 29th, but it actually is Tishri 29th. And I've actually reported both that it was, you know, designated both. So it's the time when he was born. And guess what the Word of God says in historical documents? It's the time when he'll return. Is he going to find us of faith because we're in the current season? Or is he going to find us tied into the last thing that we did? Father, I want to thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit and power. And I pray that you would fall afresh upon us, Holy Spirit. Break away all the bondages of the last season in our lives. And bring us into the new season where your Spirit will show us that which is going to be done. It's not going to be given credit to any man. It's not going to be by might or by power. It'll be by your Spirit, says the Lord. And we rejoice in it and thank you and say, come, take us into this new season in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. John's got a word. Matter of fact, it's been so crazy. I can't tell you what John's got. I just know he's always got something good. John Rockwell.
I guess that's a good way to put it. I've kind of changed up things as we've gone tonight as well, so I'm not quite sure what is going to happen either. So we'll just kind of go with the flow here and see what happens. Over the weekend, Wade didn't touch on this, but I kind of wanted to touch on it. we were with several people, and of course in the spirit, and we each got to hold a lamb, you know, a tiny lamb, and kind of, for me, it was, it still is stuck in my mind how precious that particular time was. And the reason why it was for me is just because it was very peaceful. In other words, a small lamb didn't move or anything like that at all, didn't make any noise. And it kind of made me think of some scripture that's a little bit different, but it still ties into the lamb in Revelation 5. And I guess it's going to contrast what we all saw as opposed to what the Lamb of God went through in Revelation 5. I just want to read that and do a few words and then, you know, get some worship music going as well, because we need to have some worship for tonight to continue. But I'm going to start off in verse 6 of Revelation 5. And it says, there was a throne between with four living creatures, and among the elders I saw a lamb, which is Christ, standing, bearing scars and wounds, which, of course, that's from his crucifixion, as though he had been slain, with seven horns, complete power, with seven eyes, complete knowledge, which are of the seven spirits of God, whom have been sent on duty to all the earth. And he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And I like I said, that was kind of a contrast to what we saw, but it took me to Yeshua when he was crucified, and he still bears those wounds even as he's by the Father's right hand. So didn't really want to touch on it too much, but I figured it was something that I wanted to talk about briefly tonight. And a few more things that I wanted to talk about. Wade talks all the time about training up the bride, which we're the bride of Christ. And the bride is, we're ready for war. We need to pray that the world turns back to Yeshua. And it's a time of breaking, birthing, and building, which those are a lot of things that we need to be doing. And this one kind of struck me just because I knew Fred was going to be talking tonight from, you know, Justice Ministries, and the sound of the horns of justice are coming in our land, and you need to get ready for the glorious kingdom celebration as well. And again, what we're in now, we need to embrace our new season, because it's a different season. Again, our call started out with us having to change all sorts of things to get things to where they are at tonight. So just be aware that things definitely are changing. And as Wade was talking about the glory of Zion yesterday morning, Robert did have a good message on this particular month, the month that we're coming into, actually Wednesday night into Thursday, Sheshvan. And some music that was praised yesterday, I thought really was going to fit as I listened to it yesterday, and I think it fits even more from James Vincent, and this is kind of an improvisation type of a song called Yahweh.
We bow down and worship Yahweh. We bow down and worship Yahweh. We bow down Yahweh. sing Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Every song belongs to you, Yahweh, 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 oh, Yahweh, Yahweh. One more time, sing Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Psalm 50 says, I don't need what you have, because it all belongs to me. The Lord says, I don't need what you have, because it all belongs to me. Offer me your praises. Offer me your thanksgiving. Offer me your lives as a sacrifice. Offer me your praises. Offer me your thanksgiving, yeah. Everything already belongs to me. I own it all. I own it all. I wouldn't ask you if I needed something. Offer me your praises. Offer me your thanksgiving. Offer me your love. Oh, we sing Yahweh, 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 Yahweh.
That's definitely a hand-raising song, if there ever was one. Father, we just come and give you all the glory, honor, and praise for what we're doing here tonight and what you've allowed us to do. And we just lift up the call. We lift up this country. We lift up our countries, both ours and Canada and the rest of the world, before you. And you have your will and your way with us this evening and throughout the rest of time. And we just praise you and thank you for your son, Yeshua. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. As I said earlier, tonight was going to flow differently. Brian, you got a word. You want to share it?
Yes. A couple of things. If I could, I'll move through it efficiently. In anticipation of tonight, I listen to the Lord, and I heard several things. Stick to your guns. And I heard brass tacks. And then, and those were things that were indicating stay grounded, right? Stay focused. And then I was meditating on that, and he said, rejoice, for your name is written in the book of life. And then there was just, like, why would he say that? Like, Lord, why are you saying that? And he, and it was, you know, it was, we're going to see Satan fall from the sky, right? We're going to see the lame walk, the blind, you know, seeing, the dead raised. And with all that spectacular, you know, manifestation of his glory and his power, he's already giving us a word to continue to keep focused on the things that are the most grounding, that are, you know, we're to rejoice then, that our name is written in the book of life. And I can't tell you the joy that came with us, an irrational joy that came with this, with that, in anticipation of what we're going to see. You already talked about that earlier, several of you. So I can't wait. Another vision I had just a few days ago, I saw Abraham searching in the wilderness and then finding Melchizedek. And I said, Lord, what? I'm supposed to search for Melchizedek? And he said, yes. That's Wade. And so I was supposed to be searching, right? And so it's just this word I believe I'm supposed to be bringing here is that contributing to Wade and blessing Wade with a tithe that's atypical, right? When I heard that, it was like, wait, I'm bypassing my home church. I'm bypassing, you know, some other people. And then there's Wade. He's kind of, you know, a couple of steps removed from traditional, you know, support and tithe and tribute and honor. And I think that might be in several of us around as the Lord moves. But just I believe that that is on the heart of the Lord, and I just bring that for you. And then just one more quickly, I was before the Lord, and I had a sense that attack was coming in different ways. I was hypersensitive to the kind of the move of the enemy, right, or the pushing, being jostled by the enemy, kind of like if you have. I rented a new car, you know, just recently, and I hit the brakes, and they were so tight compared to the other ones. You know, I just almost get thrown into the dashboard. It was kind of that disorienting. I'm like, Lord, what is happening? And then he revealed a sheet that was the brightest light, and it descended, and it enveloped me. And he was saying, my glory is so close. Right, my glory, and he was promising that the veil would be dropped on us in this incredible power. And then he just said, along with that release of my glory will bring also an increased sensitivity to the attacks of the enemy. So in other words, whatever happens, whatever you bring, you know, in, for the good or the bad, it's going to be amplified. And so you don't want to bring dirt, you know, dust with you into this next season for all the right reasons. And to God be the glory. May his glory come. May we be ready and prepared for it. In Jesus' name.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you. Sharon, I'm going to change the order for just a second. Brian? You're going to understand. Falls right in line with what's getting ready to come from several of the people similar. Your word about the Lamb's Book of Life. In an open vision, the Lord showed me the Lamb's Book of Life. And it wasn't just me. It was several people praying. And he said, your names are written there. But then he showed us names circling above the book. And I asked him, I said, what are these, Lord? And he says, these are the names of those that are waiting to be entered in when you go do what I've told you to do. Oh, there's names waiting to be entered into the book of life. And the Lord is waiting for you to go do what he told you to do, to witness to somebody, to pray for somebody, to lift somebody up, to give a word of encouragement, to show a sign of caring, to show hope and pay attention to what God's saying. It can be in many different ways. It can, you help somebody. It could be diverting, like Ryan was talking about. And I never ask for anything. I'm not going to. But there's times and seasons when every one of us is supposed to help somebody. You don't even know who they are. Just ask the Lord. There are times in prayer where I've prayed for people, I didn't know who they are or where they're from. They just gave me a word, a name. And I've literally had somebody call me from Europe and say, is this Wade Butler, pastor? And I said, yes. And they introduced themselves, and I said, how did you get my number? He says, I prayed. I said, really? He says, yeah, I've been praying for you for 2 weeks in the Spirit. And the Lord finally, he asked him, who was he praying for? And he gave me my name and actually gave him my phone number. This guy was in Europe. There's no telling what the Lord will do through you if you just give an opportunity. The challenges, the warfare, what we're seeing, what we're going through is amazing. And April has got a word that she's going to share about something from this morning, and you're going to see how it ties in. April, would you bring that word that you got?
This morning in prayer, I was with a few other ladies, and we had some particular things that were happening with us individually. And we were asking the Lord, like, what is this? So, you know, why are we going through this particular thing? And then it came to us that this is not just happening to us. This is happening to other people, other people. And so what it was it says here that there was a spirit of division. We prayed and we asked the Holy Spirit, and he said there was a spirit of division trying to come between covenants, between the covenant between God and us individually, between us and our spouses, and us and others in ministry. And you know, for the word hypersensitivity came out just a moment ago, and it was like that, being hypersensitive and you know, wanting to react in the flesh, but you can't react in the flesh. And so what the Holy Spirit, as we were praying through this, what he gave us was in Psalm 55, and just reading that entire chapter, seeing violence and strife in the city, but it, you know, that city is our homes, our, you know, whatever it is that God is having us go through at this moment. But then basically it came down to the end, verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord, he will sustain you, and he will never let the righteous be shaken. And then really seeing the enemy for who he is, but you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay, the bloodthirsty and the people will not live out half their days. And what the Holy Spirit is also just reminding us, that being that this is October, and not that we want to dwell on it, but it is wise to be aware of it, is the stepping up of the occult into as we're stepping up and moving into a new season, they're stepping up. October is their month, and they are rapidly, and I noticed this even from last year, they are amping it up as high as they can go. And so that is really, I mean, not the people, and this is the thing the Holy Spirit is saying, if it's not, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So again, these are people who are trapped. They're captives. You know, those captives of Isaiah 49. They're captives in the occult, captives to what the enemy is trying to hold them into, to curse the people of God. But it says here, you know, the Spirit, but you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay, bloodthirsty and deceitful, will not live out half their days. And you know, declaring that over the enemy this morning, over our covenants, over the covenants, that you don't have a right to come in between my covenant. You don't have a right, and we're going to push back. You want to push, we're going to push back. And but as for me, I trust in you. And resting in that, as for me, I trust in you. Because again, like Wade was saying, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's really where we were at in our prayer this morning.
Praise God, April. That is so powerful. But, you know, lives are changing by scriptures that we've known for a long time and said over and over again, but it's almost like, well, we're waiting for something fresh, something new, and the Lord keeps bringing us back to these scriptures, well, and showing us again and again. I actually called Sharon yesterday, and this is what I said, April, and you'll totally get it. And, you know, I try to keep in touch as best I can, and I'm an 18-hour-a-day guy, folks. It's not always working, but Francis will tell you I'm on the phone and on the computer all the time. Don't get off of it. From early in the mornings to late at night. Matt's even more so than I am. But I deal internationally. I do international business, so I'm dealing with people from all around the world, plus in the United States, and all of you on the call sometimes or another. And I called up Sharon and I said, I feel like the enemy's trying to drive a wedge. And April is exactly what you were saying, between us. And that it's trying to keep us from having the closeness that we've had in the ministry. And I don't want that to happen. Well, Sharon said, well, no, it's not. But what I could sense in the spirit, that attack. Now, she's going to bring something, and then her mother, Willow, is going to bring something. And soon after, Steve is going to bring us to a close soon after that, but I'm also going to call a few more people. But Sharon, the Lord's put something on your heart, don't know what it is, and then have Mom Willow come in and share that. Or maybe you want to start with Willow. And you follow that up.
I feel like I want to introduce my mama.
Okay.
I want to honor her. And so you're going to hear from Mama Willow here in a little bit. And this is a woman who, at a very young age, was in the company of angels, had a seer gift anointing. She was a hearer as well in the spirit. She literally worked at a switchboard, as a switchboard operator, and would minister to people as God would tell her. And she's referred to by me as the general in God's army. I'm pretty sure she's had a promotion since then. But she lived with a demoniac. My dad had a demon. He had a name. His name was Fearsome. And we were raised by that spirit. So I don't have a lot of fears about things. I was raised in the boot camp of fear, as I say. But she wanted to leave, and she couldn't. The Lord said, I want him. And so she stayed for 35 years. In a very abusive, brutal, violent, painful, and very much infidelity was something that she contended with. But she was obedient to the Lord, and he accepted Jesus Christ. And I know my dad's in heaven now because of her and because of me, because of her. I was able to lead him. She prayed on her knees most of her life, having her kids. And so I want you guys to know this woman means everything to me. And I don't always see eye to eye with her, but I know God knew the best to give me, and he gave me the best, I have to say. Willow Harris is my mother, and I'm proud to say I'm her daughter, Sharon. And she wrote this, what she will be sharing with you, in 1997. And she was obedient to the call on her life, little understood by her at times, to wake up in the middle of the night, grab a pen, paper, and start writing. This could be one of them. They're all gems. in my book. So, Mom, you have the floor. And,
well, you said enough to make me want to bawl. Thank you. A sound will come forth from an unlikely source, and it will ring truth as I speak to my people of their heart's desires, and I tell them of the trivial matters that have separated me from them. Sound the alarm. Wake up, for my time is at hand. I'm going to shake this land as never before, and everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. Most of you are not where you need to be yet. I tell you to examine your own heart and your motive. Be purified. Cry out to me, and I'll answer you. My plan is greater than your plan. Your plan has brought you here. My plan will lead you on. This is not the end for you, but a new beginning. But only if you will humble yourselves and pray. Your cry must be sincere, for I can see everything that's in your heart. I'll deal with those who would lie to my Holy Spirit. Don't look at those around you. Look deeply into your own denial. I know your true condition, and I have come to set you free from the past, to give you a new future, to enable you to walk in a holy confidence. I desire to be a father to you and to teach you my ways. And when you truly seek me, you'll find me. I am in a quiet place now, out of the world, away from the clamor of many voices, to call you away from the fleshly yearnings that devour your time. I come by the power of my Holy Spirit to impart a new mandate of fathering. Don't resist what I desire to do in each of you. Shake to vibrate as a result of a blow or shock, to tremble as a result of a physical or emotional disturbance. Mantle, regarded as a symbol of authority or covering or garment. Hebrews 12:23 or 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if he did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And then he gave me, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, coming down. And we praise you for Isaiah 54:17. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's it.
Wow.
Powerful word.
That's pretty powerful, considering that was 1997 compared to where we are today. Wow.
Amen. Just want to share real quick that I have, Wade, you made a statement. We started a new circle. This is a new circle, and this is what was given to me Christmas Eve morning of 2016, when he showed up in front of me as a brilliant light and his hand came out with a finger pointed and he drew the circle in the air and he said, we've come full circle from the Garden of Eden. And then he drew another circle down underneath that first circle, but he went the opposite direction when he drew it and he said, we've begun a new circle. And then he pointed to the top circle, and he said, what was will be again. And he pointed to the bottom circle. And then he traced his finger around the two circles, but he crossed, sectioned in the middle like you would when you make an eight. And he said, what does that form? And I said, it'd be great. And he said, new beginnings. Just like that. So we are in new beginnings. And we can see the contrast of the darkness and the light. And it said it will get darker, but our light will shine in that darkness. And that's how they're going to know who we are, is we're going to be the shining ones. So get your batteries charged. I yield.
Wow. Wow, wow. Boy, the Lord is speaking through us. And when we are obedient to Him, to listen, He changes people's lives. And what He's doing amongst us. I've been in big churches, small churches, in between churches. I've pastored 5 churches, and I've seen things. And I had some close churches, and I moved into churches that were that had gone through horrific splits, and it took years of healing. It took 5 to 7 years to heal some of those circumstances. And I'll be honest with you, amongst us are mighty men and women of God, and I'm talking about you all, that your experiences make the difference in people's lives. Mike Settlesworth, do you have a word or something you'd like to share tonight? Or a prayer? I might have caught you off guard, Mike. Mr. Shuttlesworth, you with me?
Hello?
Yes, there we go.
Oh, okay.
You had yourself muted.
Yeah, I had a dream last night. It was a little different. I know we've all had dreams sometimes that we might not understand, doesn't make any sense at all. And I've had a similar dream once before, but I don't know exactly where I was at, but I was in a yard, and there was other people, and all of a sudden this large truck comes up the road and it's dragging someone by a rope, and they're, of course, you know, getting all scraped up and whatever, and they're spinning them around, and nobody would do anything, and I tried to go up and stop them, and everybody was just looking at me like I was crazy. And eventually I was able to get a hold of the rope and disconnect it from the back of the truck. And then I tried to confront these people, and then, they left, and they were all, you know, laughing. I don't really know what that means. So I guess my prayer would be that the Lord, would help reveal what this dream means, if it has any meaning at all. But I just pray that, that the Lord would open my eyes, would talk to me, would send some sort of, answer to this dream, and help me to understand its meaning. And I think we're in a time when we're all going to start to see things, to dream things that might not make a lot of sense to us. But I think if we would just open up to the Lord and ask Him to help us understand these things, that it would bring us closer, and that it would help us to know maybe what it is we're supposed to do or where we're supposed to be. So I just pray that for myself and for others, and I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
I can tell you one thing, just to encourage you. You know, the word said that young men shall dream dreams and old men shall have vision. Just shows that you're still young. I'm going to pray into that and get back with you personally, unless somebody on the call's got a word about it. But we're in that time and season where dreams are coming, and people are telling me that they've never seen anything in color in their dream world. All of a sudden, everything's coming out in color. And dreaming things they never even could begin to understand or hope for, that's pouring forth, like, you know, just flowing. So there's something to that. I wasn't trying to get a word about it, but I will pray a word about it. You know, I'll pray into it. Because our dreams and visions can be so powerful. And Mike, I know you've had them in the past where God would show you something or is teaching us something. And we really need to be sensitive right now because of the season we're in. You know, when I was talking about that senator in Pennsylvania and how, you know, the Biden group is trying to take away our rights, tax our savings, just notified all the social media accounts and private internet lines, that they want all the communications turned over to them now, because they want to label Christians and conservatives as domestic terrorists. That you can no longer have any more than $600 in your account that's not reported to the government. Communism is making an effort to take over the world, and communism is no more than Satanism. And it's running rampant. Now, Sharon believes she got a word about that dream. Sharon?
I feel like I have a piece of the word, Mike. So as you were sharing, you saw the man or person being dragged. The Lord showed me Satan is toying with people, playing with them like a cat plays with a mouse. And God has given us the wherewithal and the ability to be able to step in and to intervene for them and to literally release them from his game, his claws, if you will. And so I feel like that I saw that piece.
All right, Wade, what I would have to say about that is very similar to what Sharon just said. The piece that I'll add to it is that Mike will free people from that bondage.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Steve, you got something also. If y'all think that I'm working in Word of Knowledge, I'm not. They're texting me. I don't think that much of me.
As he was sharing that, words came to me from an old hymn by Fanny Crosby. It says, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save."
Wow. Wow, wow.
We saw that picture as he was going after this guy and lifting him up. Those words came to my mind.
All right. All right. I'm going to call on a couple more people here. John Underwood, do you have a word or a prayer that you want to lift up tonight?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in the earth. Thank you that you're pouring out your spirit and that you're bringing forth the revival that you promised. Lord, we just magnify your name. Lord, I pray that you'll keep every one of us and help us to endure everything that comes at us that would try to pull us away from the path you have for us. But we thank you, Lord, that we can stand in the grace that you have given us and that we're covered by your blood and redeemed by your blood. And we just give you praise now and for what you're doing again. And we just thank you, Lord, for your glory that's being revealed in the earth and that the harvest is coming in. Jesus' name, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you.
Hey, Wade, I just have one more thing.
Yeah.
To add to what John said, that Mike is doing this, and I feel like the Lord said that He's calling him up as the leader that he is, and that many people see, you know, this happening and don't know what to do. It paralyzes them, and Mike steps in, and people need a leader, and so he's going to be somebody that God uses to rescue people, and in the eyes of other people, it's going to initiate a movement. But the Lord is saying, but someone needs to step up, and Mike did.
Praise God. That's good. Bruce and Linda, do you have a word or a prayer to lift up tonight?
Both had opportunity today to get out and about to our daughter's place in a town 20 miles from where we live. And while there, we went to the grocery store and then to Walmart. At both places, we had opportunity to witness the Lord. The first place to a checkout gal, and the second place to a stocker who was stocking the shelves. And just speak life to them and speak the fact that the Lord is moving in planet Earth, doing good things, encouraging their hearts, and lifting them up just in being a light and speaking the word into their life to give them that encouragement over what they would normally see in their day-to-day wanderings. And that is the ministry of the Lord. That is lifting the perishing that don't know that they're perishing because all they hear is what they hear out of the world and so on and so forth. But again, just as Mike shared and as Sharon was sharing about lifting up those who are being drugged around, we can do it simply with a smile. We can do it with a hug. We can do it with a simple word. We don't have to be prophetic to speak the word of life over them. Just live it before them and let them see the glory of God that will encourage them to climb higher in Him. Father, we thank you for the mighty work that you're doing in and through each of those individuals on this call, those throughout your body, Father God, who may not have a title or position, Father God, but are your people. Those whose hearts are yielded unto you and desire to be used of you to lift up the perishing, Father God, to speak life to the dying, Father, that they may have hope in this life. We thank you, Father, you are a mighty God doing mighty things in this earth, and we expect to see your glory manifest. We expect to see that Esther work completed in our day, Father, for your honor and your glory. And we just set our hearts in agreement, Father God, that your power, your anointing is going forth throughout this earth to empower those whose hearts are weak, to lift up those, Father God, whose hands hang down and whose hearts are weak. Father, that you would give them the strength to do that which you've called them to do. They might be a witness, a light, and a glory unto you in this earth. And we thank you for that and give you the praise and glory in Yeshua's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Linda, have anything?
Well, I will just say one quick thing. My mother passed away about 6 years ago, but today would have been her birthday. And even though she wasn't a seer and wasn't a spirit-filled woman, she loved the Lord, and I praise God for my mom, and I will just honor her on her birthday. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. Bless you all.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. Hey, Monty, do you have anything you want to say or pray?
Yes, I do. First of all, I have a sweet daughter that is very, very sick and won't even answer my calls. Normally, the second ring, she's got it picked up ever since my heart attack. And I would ask that you all would pray, put Jesse on your list of people to pray for and with. And I thank you all, every one of you that come to this call, because this is my church. This is the body I belong to. And I don't know how to thank you enough for the prayers that you put up, because I've got some needs. I'm not even going to tell you what they are. You're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit to pray for them. But I appreciate every one of you that is willing to put that effort in. And I thank you. I appreciate you. And someday you're going to turn around and ask for me to do the same thing for you. So I don't know what else to say, Wade. I'm in tears right now because of what I've already said. And I don't normally tear up unless I'm in the prophetic.
Okay.
So I thank you, and I love you all, and I appreciate every one of you. And Willow, don't give up.
You know,
I would like to know if there's anybody that's got new news about James Timothy Turner.
The last thing that got posted, Monty, was that he was moved to Oklahoma to get ready for the actual transfer, which is going to be closer to home. And so they moved him north to move him south again. I have not, and he was going to be in a lockdown for 2 weeks, COVID lockdown, and then he would be transferred to that location. That's the only thing that I've heard. John, have you heard anything else?
Yeah, I'm just reading the last text that I got on the first, seeing if anything else that you missed. Yeah, I think that's pretty much covered it, that he's going to be in quarantine for the next 2 weeks, and that's as of the first of October. Let's see. It's a picture, so I'm having to go back and forth here. Yeah, that's pretty much it there. Let's see if there's anything else back. I think there was a two-pager. Come on. There it is. Let me get that. Yeah, that's about it. You pretty much covered it.
I do have one more thing to tell you folks that are on this call. Some of you may remember Charles W. Wright, I think it is.
Yeah.
We always called him C.W. He's back in the United States. Some days he can talk, and the next minute he can be in such severe pain and torment that he can't do anything, and nothing really seems to even take care of the pain. So if anybody wants to pray for CW, I'm sure he would appreciate it.
All right. We'll do that.
I don't have permission to really give his number out to everybody.
That's all right.
Okay.
Jim Carpenter, do you have a word and a prayer?
Thank you, Wade. Good evening, everyone. Yes, I concur. I think we've turned a corner, and it's imperative that we learn those life lessons that allow us to be who we say we are in the fullest extent of that. What a wonderful, wonderful time to be alive. What an awesome amount of responsibility. But as Wade and others and I have talked, it's just our job to plant seeds. And it's God's job to bring in the harvest. So in that spirit, Father God, let us be so humble to come into your throne room tonight and lay our cares before you and dedicate our thoughts, words, and actions to your glory and to your kingdom. Give us ears to hear and a spirit of valor to follow, that we may with joy go about planting good seed and leaving it up to you to provide and to reap the harvest as you see fit, as you have ordained. Thank you for the privilege to join together with such men and women of valor, of rare DNA, to spread your word and your kingdom across this earth. And we give you the praise and the glory. Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Connie, do you have anything you'd like to say or pray tonight?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Yeshua, I bring before you Jesse, Monty's daughter. I pray, Father, that she be regenerated. Whatever is bothering her body be kicked out, and she be made well again. And let her call her father and tell him that she's okay. In Yeshua's name. CW, I don't know who that is, but I surround him with the holy fire of God that no devil can penetrate. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mr. Lupstra, would you bring all this together and do communion with us?
Yes, thank you, Wade. Good evening, everybody. It's been a powerful time again tonight. The Lord's continually teaching us and challenging us and bringing us into new places. We started this evening having to transition to a whole new platform, and we were taught about the season of attacks. As I was thinking about communion tonight, I was thinking about the disciples whom Jesus was talking to when he first spoke these words, and had the Passover with them, and went through, and I thought about the disciples afterwards, because Jesus says every time you drink this cup, every time you take this bread, do it in remembrance of me. Well, I thought about the circumstances of all of the disciples, the various disciples, and where they were and the circumstances that they found themselves in. I imagine that there's none of them that imagined that they would be in the places that they were. There are things you can look up and find how they died and where they went with the gospel. But I'm imagining that wherever they were, scattered around the area, preaching the gospel and building churches. But every time they did this, their memory went back to that night with Yeshua when he told them, "This is my body, which is given for you, and this is my blood, was shed for you, a new covenant." And I just thought, this is kind of what we need to think about tonight. This is an anchor for us. With all that's going on and all the things, the challenges that are before us, there's an anchor that we have, and the anchor is our Savior, who gave himself for us. He allowed himself to be nailed to that cross. He allowed himself to suffer and die for our sins and the sins of the whole world. He who was sinless, because he loves us. The experience Wade mentioned about holding the little lamb. The last part of that was that we were, as it were, encouraged to, given permission to share the lamb with others. And the lamb, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So tonight we remember that. And as we take the bread, Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you for the reminder of the price that you paid for us, the price of your own body. And as we take, you said, remember and do this in remembrance of you. We do this. We take this bread in remembrance of all that you did for us and the place and all that you will do for us because you love us so much. Take the bread and eat. And Jesus passed to them the cup and said, "Take this cup and drink of it, for it is my blood, a new covenant." The Lord has taken us into new places, folks. Each one of us are challenged with a different place, a new place that the Lord is taking us. And our anchor is again Yeshua, and the fact that he shed his blood and gave his blood for us to pay the price. So the price is already paid, folks. We can stand on this rock and we can go ahead and we can move forward and we can be faithful and we can seek him out and all the things that we've been learning over the months, past months, because of the blood of Yeshua. Let's participate together and take the cup. Father, we thank you, Yehovah, that in all of the circumstances of our lives, each one of us on this call and those who will listen later, in all the circumstances of our lives, as we belong to you, you are the one who leads us, you are the one who protects us, you are the one who speaks to us, you're the one who has a plan and a destiny for our lives and those that we love. And so we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you for all that you've spoken to us tonight. We pray, Lord, that these words would not land on tone-deaf ears, but they might find soft and open hearts to hear from you and to learn from you. Lord, we pray blessing over each one on this call, those who will listen as we go from this call into our daily lives, Lord. Help us to remember what you've spoken to us tonight, and we give you praise. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. That's the only way you can do that, because you shed your love into our hearts, as the word says. And Lord, help us to remember that you put us here to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. And we give ourselves to that task in obedience to you. Blessings to each one in Jesus, Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.